Mr. Myroff.
Good morning, Your Honors. The Matthews case deals, obviously, with this issue of when a union is acting properly in the defense of its in filing a grievance. And the law is that the union, if they can make a colorable argument that a grievance is meritless, then they don't have to, then they can drop it. But the union cannot arbitrarily ignore a meritorious grievance or proceed in a perfunctory manner. And that's what I'm saying they did. They took this grievance, which was, it was crystal clear, it was done right in front of their union steward. And the union act, the post office acted very poorly in this manner because they took these comments that he made, I owe you one, and you know what I mean, hero, and they said that amounted to enough to put a 26-year veteran out on the street. He never came back to the post office after that. And what they did was they took his grievance and they didn't do it timely. They did it in a slipshod manner where they didn't even put the facts into their grievances, step one, step two. They were very poorly worded.
Let me ask you this. What's the evidence that shows that the grievance would have been more successful if it had been filed within the 14 days versus the 31 days?
It wouldn't have been, but time was an issue here. Right.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Right.
It wouldn't have been more successful, or basically, what's the harm or what's the prejudice?
Or the harm is that he was put out of the post office. He could not work, and the post office was proceeding at the same time to terminate him based on violating the zero tolerance as to violence policy. Therefore, if the union had no urgency about them. They had their own member here who was out on the street, who was being terminated, and they delayed at every possible instance.
Well, weren't you appealing the MSPB
right.
at the same time?
But see, he was put out on September 18th, and the MSPB was done on January 8th. And in all that time, the union proceeded, everything they did turned into nothing. And even after that, one of the main points of this appeal is that, and the district judge did not grasp this, I don't think, was that this exact situation where a person has a grievance going and he goes before the MSPB, that's addressed in that 16.9, and it says there that if there's no settlement, hearing, or decision before the MSPB that they can proceed to arbitration, and they should have proceeded to arbitration. And if they would have, they had a great issue here because he had not threatened anybody, he had not raised his hand to anybody, he didn't even, there was no perception of a threat, but yet what they did was, they did not follow through with this grievance. They didn't follow through with the arbitration. So we're saying that the union failed in every instance here, and they had no sense of urgency. They didn't properly file the grievances. They didn't proceed to arbitration, and I'll save the rest of my time for...
Thank you, Mr. Myroff. Ms. Holmes?
Good morning. May it please the Court. Melinda Holmes on behalf of the American Postal Workers Union, Milwaukee Area Local. Appellant's claims failed to state a violation, a breach of the duty of fair representation on the law, but also on the facts. There's no evidence here that the union did anything that was so arbitrary, that was so outside of the wide range of reasonableness in processing this grievance that it should be held in violation of the duty of fair representation.
Well, you would agree, wouldn't you, that it was a little perfunctory? I mean, shouldn't the union have done a little more to outline the complaint, given more detail?
No, I don't agree. The law certainly does not require that the grievance be written in any particular way, and that's what we understand part of appellant's complaint is that he wasn't satisfied with what he felt was the quality of his representation. But the union filed a timely grievance here. It may not be the most perfect grievance from an attorney's perspective, but having had this relationship for over 30 years with this particular employer, it was a grievance that set forth its positions. It pressed this grievance through the grievance procedure. At the same time, the same misconduct that was alleged against Mr. Matthews also resulted in his discharge. And mind you, as we understand it, appellant is only complaining about the grievance over his suspension, his 8-day suspension. The union filed two other grievances in the same time period over his discharge. And those were all being processed at the same time. It saw this through the grievance procedure. It brought it all the way. It appealed it to arbitration. When it got to that stage, admittedly, appellant may feel like there was delay in this process, but appellant has pointed to no evidence that would suggest that the union was intentionally responsible for the delay in the grievance procedure.
Yeah, you didn't have any control over the arbitration.
That's right. There's a lengthy docket, as it is, of grievances. And this case, once it gets appealed to arbitration, which the union did in a prompt manner, it's on the docket until it comes up for hearing. Now, in the meantime, the appellant had appealed his discharge to the MSPB. And that case actually went to hearing before this case came up on the arbitration docket for an arbitration hearing. Now, that's the point where the union did agreed to a stay of the arbitration, but that's specifically provided for in the collective bargaining agreement. Appellant skips over that provision that describes that, and I can quote it, that it says, in the event the grievance of a preference eligible, as Mr. Matthews is due to be scheduled in accordance with Article 15, which is the arbitration provision, and the preference eligible has a live MSPB appeal on the same action, the parties will not schedule the grievance for arbitration until a final determination is reached in the MSPB procedure. So there's no evidence here to show that the union's understanding of that provision was so unreasonable and so irrational that its actions to stay this arbitration until the MSPB hearing concluded breaches the duty of fair representation. I will point out, too, that then the union, Mr. Matthews, lost his challenge. The union was not part of that before the MSPB. That greatly undermined the union's case on the suspension, but it still managed to prevail upon the Postal Service to settle it and get some back pay from Mr. Matthews. This circuit has clarified that appellant needs to show not only evidence of arbitrariness, but evidence of actual harm resulting from the union's conduct. And in this case, there's only theories of actual harm, theories that I suggest aren't particularly coherent, but there's no evidence of any harm that came from, as Mr. Meyerhoff admitted, the seemingly 2 weeks delay in filing the grievance or the stay of arbitration that happened after the MSPB hearing had already been conducted and while they were waiting for a decision in that. So there simply is no basis here for finding that the union did not discharge its duties, perhaps not as perfectly as appellant would have preferred or as sufficient, if you were looking at it as an attorney, but it was very competent and it pressed it throughout the proceedings. It didn't drop the grievance. It did its duty, and there's no breach of the duty of fair representation here. The district court's decision found that, too. It found that the theory of harm was speculative at both. It found that there was no basis under the Supreme Court standards for finding a duty of fair representation breach, and we suggest that the district court's decision should be affirmed. There aren't any other questions?
Apparently not. Thank you, Ms. Holmes. Mr. Meyerhoff?
Yes. Well, it wasn't that the docket was so crowded on the arbitration. It was that Mr. Mellon, who was the head of the union, was saying that he could not arbitrate based on the collective bargaining agreement. And I pointed out that those three instances which said when he could not arbitrate, none of them had been met. And then it was alleged that this finding before the Merit System Protection Board undermined Mr. Matthews' position that he should not have been terminated, but If you recall, in the brief, I pointed out that the post office dropped its zero tolerance as to violence violation before we even got into the Merit System Protection Board. The judge there said, you have no case under zero tolerance as to violence. These are not threats. There's no violence done. If you proceed, you're going to lose. So the post office dropped its whole idea that this was a violation of the zero tolerance, and they proceeded on this basis that he said he was on the clock when he really wasn't on the clock. And that's why he was terminated. But that shows what a good case the union had for arbitration, because the post office eventually dropped the whole idea. So just as one final note is that there seems to be an idea here that the union can, any minimal thing they do is okay, because you have to show, some decisions say you have to show bad faith or hostility. But in other cases, it says they cannot be perfunctory and they cannot be arbitrary. And I think that's what happened here. And I think that a jury should be able to hear what this union did. Thank you.
Thank you, Smirnoff. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.